Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette digital edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
How's it going, everyone? Jeff Johnson from the Gazette here with my cohort, Jeff Linder, for another edition of Call It Both Ways, our prep and a little bit of college basketball podcast. Literally today, this is special because we're about 10 feet from each other in the office. So
you've got the nice nice lounge there with the beautiful Boston piano. Lounge, right? And
exactly.
I've got a bright light behind me. Fantastic.
We're here to, as I said, talk a little bit about basketball. And before we start, Jeff, I have to tell you, I watched some of the Iowa women's game Sunday. We're recording this on Monday. And maybe one of the first things I saw was Jan Jensen turn to one of the officials and say, "Both ways, both ways." And I said, my day was made. Absolutely made. And then she uttered something about bovine waste or something like that. So anyway, we'll get to the Iowa women here in a bit. Let's start with the high schools. Girls are coming down to the wire.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you saw last week. What are the storylines you're kind of looking at coming into this week, Jeffrey?
Well, we're kind of in a hybrid area here. We're counting down to the end of the regular season, the conference races and all that. And then we're 1A, 2A, 3A girls have their pairings come out on Thursday. So, you know, that's a big time as well, just to see who goes where and who's got a fighting chance to make it to the Casey Center.
Fun, right?
Yeah.
When we see everybody's paths and go from there.
So, yeah, it's February. The days are getting longer, and the girls' state basketball tournament starts a month from about 2 hours ago.
Wow. So a month from now, it'll be snowing, folks. So just maybe. So you know, look ahead. So I know you were at Kennedy Xavier the other night, and Kennedy got a big win, right?
Yeah.
What else did you see last week?
I saw Maquoketa Valley and Springville on Tuesday. Really good ball game. Went to overtime. Springville won it 57-54. Rowan Jacoby, the South Dakota commit, one of two really good South Dakota commits in the area. She had 25 and 15. I think it was 18 and 13 after halftime, after Maquoketa Valley did a really nice job defensively on her in the first half. But she played a really, really strong second half. And Springville's a team that was battling some sniffles and some coughs and some snots and some of that stuff that seems to hit every team's repertoire this time, at some point during the season. But Springville, with that win, Springville clinches the Tri-Rivers West title. And Jacoby actually has become the school's leading scorer and rebounder, I believe. I think she's somewhere in the 1800s for career points. She'll get over 2000 before the season's over. And yeah, Friday I was over at Xavier for Kennedy and Xavier, 42nd Street rivalry. I think we'll just call it the Twin Pines rivalry. Kennedy won that one. They led pretty much from start to finish. The best I've seen Bentley Dill play. She had 17 points. She had 3 3-pointers in the third quarter in which Kennedy was able to pull away and get some distance there.
I actually caught the Liberty West Iowa City matchup Friday night. So
yeah, and we can talk South Dakota recruits there as well with Natalie Ramsey. You got to see her. What was your perspective on her?
She's a nice ball player. She's got some length to her, and I love she seems to have a good little mid-range type of game, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's normal, but she sure did Friday night. And I love that. You don't
they call her three-level scorers. That's what the cool kids call them.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's 100 or that's 100% right. So she dropped a 26 burger. Do I have that right?
Geez. Yeah.
A 26 burger, and it was kind of a back and forth type of game. And I know West won the first one, right?
Yeah.
If I remember right. And Liberty kind of came from behind and Ramsey hit a shot late to put him up. And then there was a big steal at the end of the game as well defensively when West had the ball out of a timeout in the Liberty front court. So didn't look like much probably separates those two. That's
kind of – and you throw City High in there as well, and there's just not much separation in there. And then in Cedar Rapids, you've got Wash, you've got Prairie. Kennedy's coming on, and Cedar Falls and Wallert. And there's from one to, what, eight or nine, maybe 10 in the Valley. It's a lot of parity, a lot of balance, a lot of depth.
So how is the Igsaw going to, you know, kind of split that up?
Whoever's in the top eight is probably going to host the whole way. I would say right now that would probably be Wash, and I don't know. I suppose Cedar Falls is probably top eight right now, but then, you know, they play each other tomorrow, and that, you know, maybe that, you know, that's what the stakes are with that, other than being for the Valley Division lead, who might host and you know, who might be in that top eight.
Small school wise, you know, I know you talked a lot about Maquoketa, which has a great basketball team.
We're loaded in 3A here. Maquoketa is number one. Mount Vernon's number two. Williamsburg's really good. Wallert's really good. Then you got some teams, you know, Tipton's 14 or 15 and one. They don't play quite the level of competition that the WOMAC teams do, but they're very good. And a team that probably will make its way to a regional final and, you know, have a fighting chance to make it to Des Moines.
All right. Give me a Cinderella, a dark horse in our area. Doesn't matter what class that, you know, could make a run that wouldn't totally surprise you, but might surprise some others.
To get there or to go deep at state?
Yeah. Either way.
Oh boy. Cinderella. Do you dare say Xavier's a Cinderella? they're ranked 10th. They're hovering around 500, but certainly a team that could get there. Cascade. How about Cascade? They're ranked 15th, playing well, very well coached. They'll defend. You know, if they can get to, if they can find their way to 40 points, they're going to have a chance against anybody. And they've got the firepower to do that against most teams. I would say Cascade's a good team to do that. Maybe not to make it to state, but make a regional final. How about Meskwaukee?
That's a great story, isn't it?
Yeah, they're 13-2. They're young. They started 0-2, and they haven't lost since. They're going to win the Iowa Star South.
Awesome.
And I don't know if they're a state tournament team yet, but they've been a really neat story to kind of watch them stack wins.
I know when the boys had a nice run there of 2-3 years in a row, they played in a sub-state final against North Lynn 1 year and were competitive. That was a deal where those kids had kind of all grown up and played AAU ball together.
Okay.
Do you have any idea? Is that kind of probably the same thing?
I don't know. They're kind of a mishmash of juniors, sophomores, freshmen. So it's not just all one class. I don't know. And I really need to and should do some digging and find out kind of what the story is with the Warriors this year, because it is a neat story.
Yeah, it's always good when you have somebody that hasn't been up towards the top and had a lot of success, doesn't matter what school or what sport. So it's a great story, no doubt about that. So I hear we got a little plug from one of the coaching staffs the other night.
Xavier boys game, and I hear kind of under the breath, okay, call it both ways. And he just kind of looked at him, and he looked at me, pointed, and he says, yeah, that's for you.
So it was a boy's parrot?
As a boys coach.
Oh, it was the boys coach. Yeah. Oh, Mike Freeman. Oh, God.
No, it wasn't Mike Freeman. It was one of the assistants. It was one of his assistants who may or may not have used to have been a girls coach at Springville.
Okay. His last name began with O and end with Donald.
Yeah, there might be an apostrophe in there too. But it was just all in fun. He wasn't.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wasn't harping at the refs. He was just kind of playing with me a little bit.
I guess just looking at the boys a little bit. Rankings just came out.
Let's talk about that.
I haven't even. I got to take a look. I know 4A. I'm on the 4A committee, all full disclosure there. And it was tough. Tough today because and it's been kind of tough all season, honestly, because you have kind of a gap. The top two teams, Cedar Falls and Waukee Northwest, are really good. And I think they are well above everybody else. And then you have like Waukee and West Des Moines Dowling are probably the next level after that. And then you know, Dubuque Senior's had a great season. It's only has one loss. Ames has been really good. But it's been the bottom four teams in that class that have just been rotating all season. And last week we had, I think it was either 6, 7, and 8 or 7, 8, 9 ranked, the 9th ranked teams all lost. So it's like coming up with a viable 7, 8, 9, 10 this week was tough, and it took probably 45 minutes to an hour of discussion on what to do. And that's not to, you know, to make anybody feel sorry for the committee, but that's just kind of the way it's been in 4A, and you know, kind of settled on a bottom four there this week, and I'm sure it'll change next week. So that's just the way it is in 4A. 3A, looking at it, Cedar Rapids Xavier has kind of been on a skid a little bit here and dropped out of the top 10 for the first time in a long time this week. Again, don't, like you said, never discount Xavier when it comes to postseason time. No question about that. Solon's in there at 8. Center Point Urbana's at 9. And that is, even though Center Point Urbana gave Solon his first loss last week, 72-46. So, Center Point does have a couple of losses, so yeah. That's why.
I see Storm Lake's number one in 3A.
Storm Lake's number one. Jaden Kuhn, the Nebraska recruit, leads them. Ballard lost for the first time. They've been number one pretty much all season in 3A. They were defeated last week by, I think, ADM, if I remember correctly, which also is a top five team. So, new number one in 3A. 2A is kind of staying the same. You know, Regina is in there at 3. Union Community is at 7. Had a really nice win over the weekend against Waverly Shell Rock, a perennial or a traditionally really good program, up a class in 3A. So that was kind of a prove it win for Union. And Union's only got one loss. I think they're 14-1 or 15-1. And they've been a good story. Just did something on them last week. And then 1A, it's Algona Garrigan 1. The big game over the weekend was Saturday between Bellevue and Bellevue Marquette, which were, I think, 5-6 or 6-7 in the rankings going into that game. And Bellevue beat Bellevue Marquette by 9. So Bellevue's up to 5 this week. Marquette drops to 9, even though Marquette led that game most of the way. I was listening to it on, I think, the Maquoketa radio station. So, Bellevue's having a really nice the community of Bellevue's having a really nice boys basketball season. So let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Last week also saw some history. Dubuque senior wise, Tevin Schultz had 20. I can't even remember now. Maybe 24 points. His senior beat Xavier by 20 points, and he set the Dubuque senior all time career scoring record. And it's really kind of a neat deal right after the game. You know, the senior had a nice representation there. So they all kind of stormed the court and surrounded him and hugs and photos. And they gave him a banner to, you know, or a little poster commemorating his achievement. So took, you know, photos of that with him and his team and, you know, cupcakes and all this kind of stuff. And then I thought it was really neat. And this is the best of high school sports, was a couple of senior parents came over to Xavier, to the scores table, and said, "We're sorry. Please don't make you think that this is like us, you know, stomping on your mid-court logo or anything like that. You know, this is just something that's, you know, history, literally. And we just want to, you know, feat a kid that's a really good kid." And, you know, Xavier was totally cool with it. Yeah, no problem. Even announced it on the PA that he was their all-time leading scorer. Yeah. So you don't see that, unfortunately, as much maybe as you should. But that was a really nice deal there. And I'm trying to think Friday. What did I do Friday? Oh, yeah, saw the boys game, West and Liberty. And West won handily. Looks like they're coming around a little bit with new coach Jason Kern. Came over from West Branch to take over for the legendary Steve Bergman there, who retired after last season. And I think they're 9-6. And it's pretty much a whole new team. they lost some guys, obviously, to graduation, Jack McCaffrey being one. And you know, had a couple of guys that got hurt in football that were going to play, and you know, they haven't played. So it's kind of a nice a new mix there, but he's doing a nice job, and they played very well. And Liberty's kind of shorthanded. Leading scorer Jeremiah Washman was out with an injury. So, and ran into Jack Jensen Fitzpatrick, and you know all about him.
Yeah.
Had a nice chat.
Him since he was much shorter than me.
So I write something later on this week on the West senior guard. He is the son of Iowa women's head basketball coach Jan Jensen, and great kid. And yeah, you can confirm that, no doubt about that.
Yep, good family.
Yeah, 100%. So look for that a little later. Trying to think. I think boys next week at some point. I think we finally get 1A and 2A postseason pairings. And then the week after that will be the big schools. So that's coming up. I like that the association and the girls union are waiting as long as possible to put these together. Unlike maybe in former years, they're trying to get the best teams to state and within reasonable geography on the boys' side, maybe not so much on the girls, but we talked about that a million times.
Yeah. Refresh my memory. Is this the last year at Des Moines, or is this the first year in Ames?
Nope, this is the last year. The boys tournament will be held in Des Moines for, boy, I don't even know how long the agreement was, 5 years maybe. It'll be at the arena formerly known as The Well. Now it's The Case. I don't know. What are we calling it? Casey Center.
The Slice for breakfast.
There you go. Yeah, last year in Des Moines for the boys state basketball tournament, the association just, I know the rent was, pretty large, and, they are just kind of looking for a different environment, and, they're going to Ames starting next year, Hilton Coliseum, to, have the tournament. And I think that'll be a much more intimate environment, which I think is kind of what they're looking for. So one more year in Des Moines, I guess. Well, you know all about Ames. You're going to have to give me the places to eat in Ames.
Oh, I can.
Other
I can
than Hickory
help,
Park.
I can help right? you with that. We go to Ames a lot. We've gone to Ames a lot since the fall of 2016, and I like to eat, so I can help you with that.
I appreciate that very much. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. It's nothing was like Vets Coliseum, right? Or Vets Auditorium. I think you'll 100% agree with me on that. That was kind of the ultimate state tournament, high school environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, they moved across the street, literally, to Wells Fargo Arena. It served its purpose, and they had some huge crowds over the years.
Yeah.
No doubt, you know, when Harrison Barnes was playing with, you know, McDermott and then those Ames teams. And I think there was one year where I want to say, I know Des Moines North was one of the opponents, and it was another Central Iowa team. They were both like top five ranked, and
Okay.
That place was full, almost full for a first round game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, you had your great crowds and, you know, you have your memorable games, but things move on.
Yeah. And you had the finals of the state tournament in 2020 where nobody was there.
That's right. An incredibly weird environment that I'll never forget.
And I guess we're fortunate that they got it in, because if the tournament would have been
the next week
or 4 days later, they would have they wouldn't have had it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So yeah, that's probably my biggest memory, unfortunately. But you want to talk Iowa women?
Yeah.
No, they don't really probably want to go back to Southern California anytime soon.
No, they, I think that's a good reason not to want to go to Sacramento. I know that's Northern California, but, you know, for the Sweet 16, if they happen to get that far. But yeah, two rough games. USC, they just didn't play well. And I think UCLA, they were just the second best team in that game. And UCLA is very good. They're a national championship contender. You know, the sky's not falling. They're still 9-2 in the Big Ten. They're 18-4 overall. They're not very deep now. The Taylor McCabe injury, you know, makes them about an 8.5 player rotation. So, you know, they certainly can't afford anybody else to get hurt. And if they do, that could be a big sign of trouble. But, you know, hey, if you'd have told any of the fans that on February 1st they would be 18-4, 9-2, I think everybody would have said, sign me up.
Yeah, but you know there's probably a lot of angst within the fan base still, right?
Oh, there always is. There always is. Any fan base, any sport, lots of angst. So they'll be fine. They host Minnesota on Thursday. I think Minnesota's very good. Minnesota's pretty good, I guess I should say. They're 16-6, 7-4. Game Iowa should win. Then they host Washington. There's not a game left of their last seven that I don't think Iowa will be favored in. So I'm not saying they're going to win all seven. Maybe Michigan at home, they'll be a slight underdog. But, you know, if they finish 5-2 in this seven, get to 14-4, get to, what are we thinking, 23-6, maybe win a game in the Big Ten tournament, I think they'll absolutely be a top four seed.
I think this just accents how difficult it is to go to the West Coast. And
oh, yeah.
It's equal, if more so, for the West Coast teams when they have to travel to the Midwest and even the East.
Yeah.
But, you know, the far-flung, geographically, Big Ten, it's an advantage when for the teams, whoever is hosting, not traveling.
You know? Right.
And how much do you think that maybe played into?
Oh, I'm sure it did. I think they left 2 days ahead of time. I don't think they're going to use it as an excuse, even though they probably could. I don't know. You know, they're a lot younger than we are. They should be able to go out there and compete. But USC was due to play well. They've had some injuries, and you know, I think Iowa just caught them at a bad time.
Okay.
So. Speaking of which, the Iowa men, they've got a 10 o'clock game coming up out there.
Yeah, how about that? At Washington. And the Hawkeyes are out on the West Coast as well. One at Oregon last night, handily. 84-66, Oregon is like beat up, missing two starters, three other guys that are out injured. So it's kind of a shell of a team. But you still got to take care of those
guys, right? Yep. There's still a major one, you know, a division one, power four or five or six or whatever the term is with basketball team that, you know, these are scholarship guys and, you got to go out there and beat them.
Yep. And if you want to go to the NCAA tournament, you got to take care of it. So, Bennett Sturts was great. Out and out great. 32 points, 7 assists last night. 12 of 15 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3-point range. He did everything. And that's what your best players are supposed to do. And he did last night. Now, the concern is Tavian Banks, the starting forward, who is injured in last night's game, is banged up and not really saying exactly the injury or how bad it is. So he is a piece they cannot probably lose. He's pretty important. He's an inside presence, all-around presence, really. So we'll see how, what he does, if he's able to play against Washington or not. And then last week, I was 1-4 in a row. I survived USC 73-72. A couple of Sturts free throws with, you know, a couple seconds left. Crazy game, back and forth, runs all over the place. Iowa didn't score a field goal for its first 10 minutes of the game. Fell behind by double digits, came back, went ahead by like 15 to 17 points, blew that lead, and but found a way at the end of the game. And Jeff Cam Woods is the kid's name from USC. Had 33 points against Iowa, played all 40 minutes, never sat. Cam Woods just joined USC for the second semester. He was one of those transfer portal free agents that didn't sign with anybody.
Yeah.
Immediately. Fourth school in 4 years. And he came in and destroyed Iowa offensively in that game. Had a run. Jeez, I think he scored 20 of his team's points in a row or something like that. But
that would be an easy fix. I think teams should have to declare their roster, you know, October 15th or whatever. This midseason stuff. I mean, who's to say that at some point we're not going to have trades?
Yeah.
You know, no. You need a power forward and a guard. We'll give you those two, and we'll take your post. But you know,
throw you a little NIL money in there as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Just the system's broken. I don't know how to fix it, but. I hope somebody does, because it's really taking a lot of the, you know, the fun out of it.
Preerness, yeah. Then, of course, late last week, there was a kid that's played in the NBA, I think parts of 2 years, has a year of college or two of college eligibility back. Now he's suing, after playing in the NBA, to go back and be able to play college basketball. So I wonder – if this is what Jordan Bohannon thought might happen back in the day when, and I'm being serious.
Yeah.
If this is, you know, when he was right up front with athletes need to get paid, I wonder what he thinks about how far we've gone, how far things, I won't say fallen, because I guess that's your perspective, but how far things have gone in such a short period of time.
So fast.
So yes, fat. Exactly. It's like once I don't know.
Yeah. She hasn't played yet, but Texas Tech's women have a midseason call up, I guess. She's 7'1".
What?
Yeah.
Really? Is she from Holland or?
No, she's, I think she, let me look. I'll effort on that, but she's 7'1". No, I've got it up here. I've got my schedule up, or my roster. She is from, where are you? Nigeria. Yep.
Also tall people. Yes.
Yeah. 7'1" freshman.
Wow. I want to see her play. I do.
You know, I do too.
Curiosity's sake.
Yep. I'm not going to try. Her first name's Stephanie. I'm going to say Okechukwu, maybe.
Okay.
I can spell it now. I'm going to say something like Okechukwu. She can speak English, Igbo, and Japanese.
Wow.
Six siblings. But hasn't played yet, but she's on the roster. And we'll.
This is Texas Tech, you said?
Texas Tech, yeah.
Texas Tech. Wow. Yeah, let's see if she plays at all the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody this week? I was just going to ask you. I got it's busy. Actually, a game tonight, Monday night. Lindmar and Kennedy are playing a rare, I guess, Monday night game against each other out at Lindmar. Kennedy's really coming on.
Yeah, they had 14 three-pointers the other night when I saw them.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You saw it. So, they are 8-6, playing like three freshmen. So you kind of knew they might grow as the season goes on. And then Lindmar's coming off a really unexpected 20-plus point loss at Ankeny Friday night. So big game for both teams. Kennedy to get its momentum, keep its momentum, and Lindmar, quite frankly, to climb back into the top 10 and maybe went into a top 8 ranking in order to be able to host a sub-state. So big game there. Tomorrow night there's a couple of pretty good games in town, Prairie and Wallert play. But I'm going to head out to Center Point Urbana because Storm and Norman snubbed me the last time I was there. Didn't see him. And I'm going to try. I'm going to try again to see if he will make an appearance and will give me a fist bump, or, you know, if it's only about Jeff Linder, which it might be. I understand that.
It probably is.
I think it is. Norman loves Jeff Linder. I can understand that.
The feeling is mutual.
There you go. So Marion and Center Point Urbana tomorrow night. Friday is Prairie and Lindmar. Return matchup. They played real early in the year with Lindmar. Coming out on top there. Prairie's another team that's right on the verge, I think, of getting into the rankings, but just kind of been a little bit up and down. Crushed last week by Cedar Falls, but Cedar Falls crushes everybody, and then rebounded for a win after that. So I guess that's my week. How about you? Oh, and Hawks, Northwestern Iowa on Sunday.
Okay.
All right, 2 o'clock. Right.
I'm going to go to Cedar Falls. I've been to their gym once, and it's gorgeous, of course, their new gym.
A little small.
Yeah. Washington Cedar Falls, 6 o'clock. First place on the line in the MVC Valley. Iowa women on Thursday against Minnesota. And then Friday is a TBA. If Washington wins Tuesday, I'll probably hit them and Kennedy. And if not, I'll probably do Liberty City High on Friday. So
very good.
We'll see. It's a fun time of the year.
Very busy. And that's all right. So. All right. I guess that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us for another edition of Call It Both Ways podcast for the Gazette. This is Jeff Johnson, and I am going to let Lindy take us out as he always does.
All right. Everybody have a good week. We'll see you soon.
And call it both ways.
And call it both ways.
Mornings are made easier with the Gazette's newsletters. Get daily headlines, sports updates, public safety alerts, or deep dives from our reporters, all free. Sign up at thegazette.com/newsletters.